following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
I love the new lead-in. Good morning. It is a glorious Saturday morning on the First Coast. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
He is back in the flesh, folks, live as always. After a quick week off, I want to thank everybody who called last week. Made a very, very fun show for me, and I know I've gotten some good feedback from the listeners, because after all, you might get really bored just listening to us, but when people call with questions on a discussion, then it takes a whole new turn, which brings me to my usual reminder that most financial shows are canned, meaning pre-recorded or recorded somewhere else at some other time. They play it back. You get to listen to exactly what they want to say, regardless whether you're bored to tears or interested as you could be. But here, if you want to take a little bit of control, pick up the telephone and call 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Big announcement this week. We are now FM 94.1. So all you folks listening any other way, I am here to tell you, if you want the best reception, you're going to go to 94.1, which is now the same station that you've been listening to us for the past 13 months with. And it's going to be the focus now that we're trying to get everybody over there. Yes, there's still an AM signal. Some of you on the way outskirts might want to still try that. But I'd be curious to hear from listeners, when you get over to 94.1, some of the outlying places that you're hearing it and what kind of reception we're getting there. So we'll be stressing FM 94.1 from here on. I really, really would like some feedback.
Yeah. Especially those of you in Gainesville, Daytona, mm-hmm. that Lake City, that those areas. If yep. you can hear us, give us a call.
As far as Ocala and up the coast and down the coast, Daytona up to about Hilton Head and Beaufort, places like that, we know that we have listeners in those areas. If you're able to get it on AM, please try 94.1 FM and tell us whether or not it works. There's nothing better that you can help us with than finding out the best way to communicate to you folks. I would like to just stick my thumb in my nose a little bit at all those global warming freaks up north who are going to have to shovel it this weekend. At just, you know, little Wisconsin humor there, since I escaped so long ago, and I'm so glad I did, especially when I see the forecast for this weekend, and then I go outside, get in the car, and drive out here. I'm telling you, if you're not around here, you certainly ought to be. Well, here we are, another week of financial fun and games. There are some weeks that actually come out pretty well, but they don't feel good. There are other weeks that feel really good, but they don't come out so well. And in my opinion, this was one of those. What say you?
I felt like it was spring break, because it seemed like nobody was really, the traders in Wall Street just decided to go to Florida and hang out on a beach or something.
Can't blame
like
them.
That. Because the market was just kind of up and down, no real direction.
Right.
No, it just felt like an odd week. There was a pretty furious rally to end the first quarter, and stocks decided to take a pause. We'll call it a pause this week.
Pause that refreshes.
Yeah. And so a little bit of a retreat from the positive momentum we've seen. It wasn't too ugly. There were all three indices were down about 1.2%. The Dow and the S&P remained in positive territory for the year, and the NASDAQ is down about 3.1% from where it started. From the lows of February 11th, though, the S&P is up 11.6, the Dow is up 11.8, and the NASDAQ is up a pretty stunning 13.2%. There were two bright spots this week, one coming from the battered healthcare and biotech sector. Healthcare ended the week up about 2.3%, while the NASDAQ biotech ETF, IBB, ended the week up almost 3.4%, and that was after losing about 1% on Friday, so not too bad. The other bright spot was energy, which had been down for most of the week, but it saw a pretty huge rally on Friday, with oil closing up more than 6%. That's what we call a pretty good Friday.
I call it a real good Friday since I own some.
Interest rates continued to fall this week as well, with the 30-year mortgage hitting 3.61%. Unbelievable. I mean, who would have thought we'd be here after the rate hike last year? The 10-year Treasury note fell as well, hitting a low 1.71%. However, the Fed is still planning on raising rates this year, so it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
It hasn't resulted in anything so far.
The first quarter earnings season kicks off on Monday, and the overall outlook is surprisingly positive. Analysts have upgraded almost as many forecasts as they have downgraded for the quarter.
Which is incredible if you've been reading all the financial news for the last month or two, because I've never seen so much gloom and doom until just now.
Well, not just that, but the guidance out of companies after the last quarter was just so overwhelmingly negative. So going into the season, I really thought we'd see a lot more downgrades than upgrades, but
you
that hasn't been the case yet. Another headline I've been seeing more and more recently is that the default rate on high-yield bonds just reached a level we haven't seen since 2009. Really scary, right? Well, hold on. I want to put it in perspective. The rate did increase from the mid-3% to about 4%, mainly due to energy companies, and even more specifically, oil field exploration companies. Now, if you know anything about oil field exploration, it is made up of a bunch of little companies that are extremely risky. It's a hit or miss type thing. You find one field and boom, you're a legitimate company. If you don't find one, you're probably going bankrupt.
Hero or heel, yeah. Overnight.
So the 25-year average default rate is closer to 4.6%. So we're still below that. Don't read too much into this yet. Now, if we see the trend continue upward, the default rate climbs and goes above that average, then I might start to get worried. But because the spread on high yield bonds is high enough right now, it actually makes them fairly attractive. So
it's about 2 points higher net,
right,
than regular high quality bond yields right now.
But just make sure that whatever fund you buy doesn't hold a lot of energy, or isn't concentrated in energy, because
yeah,
that could be more risky.
And the only time you want to hold this asset class is when business conditions are definitely not deteriorating.
Exactly.
Either steady or up, they're good. When you see the default rate and you see business failures going up, just dump them and get high quality stuff.
Right. Or go to cash for a while
and
see what happens. But yeah.
Just get out of high yield.
Right. In economic news, the jobless claims once again surprised to the downside, coming in at 267,000 versus 270 expected. And one of my favorite reports, the JOLTS, which is Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, was released this week, and it was pretty positive as well. Job openings were down slightly, but my favorite number, the quit rate, was slightly higher than it was for all of 2015 at 2.1%.
Very positive sign for the economy.
So why do I like the quit rate so much? Well, when times are really tough, nobody leaves a job, no matter how much you hate it. And I know everyone listening out there doesn't like their job. But when things are good, people leave their jobs. So when you see a higher quit rate, that is actually a really positive thing for the economy.
Brian, because we're up on the hard break right now, the second we come back from this short break, we'll put you on. I just didn't want to rush it through when we had a couple things we had to say. And just hang on for us. I've got a trivia question. One of the topics that I wanted to talk about today is inflation, which I started a couple weeks ago, and I've got more to say about it. It has to do a lot with certain asset classes. And Howard on the real estate show, the live real estate show right before us, was talking about interest rates. We're going to explain why they're so good right now. My trivia question is also related to these asset classes that are going to do well in an inflationary environment, or at least one where the outlook is higher. So we're going to take a break quickly. Don't go away, anybody. We'll be right back. Take the calls. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. But doctors have recently discovered they are unable to reverse or control serious side effects, such as internal bleeding caused by Xarelto. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Call now if you or a loved one was hospitalized from any form of internal bleeding or stroke after taking Xarelto. You may be entitled to a cash award and substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. There is limited time to file a claim, so call now. Call 800-961-5842. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-961-5842. That's 800-961-5842. Again, 800-961-5842. This is an important message about the IRS. Are you dealing with a tax crisis? If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? The IRS is offering a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, a government program for tax debt forgiveness.
Hi, I'm Paul Sibley, Director of Client Services with U.S. Tax Shield. The IRS is offering Fresh Start Initiatives because they actually want you to resolve your tax issues. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, stop the bleeding, and fix what caused your problem in the first place. Our goal is to negotiate a resolution you can live with and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-418-0572 for your free consultation and get protected now. That's 800-418-0572. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-418-0572.
Attention homeowners. Do you need cash for college, a new kitchen, a new bathroom, to finish your basement, or to pay off credit cards? Then call Interstate Home Loan Center now and learn how to use the equity in your home to get the cash you need. We're a direct lender. We make the decision to loan you money, and we work crazy hard to get your loan approved. To prove it, call us. We're here right now to help you get the cash you need out of the equity in your home. Call now and learn how to get a free 40-inch color TV with your closed loan. Find out how easy it is to refinance your current mortgage and get cash for home improvements and more. Call right now. We promise we're here to take your call. Interstate Home Loan Center is a licensed mortgage banker. NYS Department of Financial Services, NMLS number 56315. 25 Melville Park Road, Suite 105, Melville, New York, 11747. 800-430-7924. 800-430-7924. 800-430-7924. That's 800-430-7924.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And without further ado, we're going to go to Brian on the phone. But first, I'm going to give out the trivia question in case he wants to take a shot at it. I am thinking today about inflationary topics, and one of the things that likes inflation is precious metals. Not everybody knows that gold and silver do not really move in lockstep. There's a difference in expectations that drives the price increases and decreases for gold and silver. So we know that gold's had a very good year so far. Silver's had a pretty good year. What has been the increase in the rise of silver this year? And I'll take it to the nearest whole percent, so there are two potential answers that would be acceptable. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, I had a question.
Yeah.
Great. How are you?
Wonderful.
It being tax season and all, I was wondering about the backdoor Roth IRA qualifications. Are you familiar with that?
The only hitch... Actually, one of two, but the other one's technical. The only hitch is if you have any other IRAs, it's not going to be a tax-free. And for people who don't know what Brian's talking about, a backdoor Roth means that you would like to contribute to your Roth IRA, but you make too much money because Roths have an income limit. So what you do is contribute to a traditional IRA, don't deduct it because you can't, because you make too much money, but then... you convert it to a Roth, effectively making a Roth contribution, but making it through the back door. The only problem with that is if you have any other IRAs, including simples and SEPs, you only get the tax-free exchange into the Roth on the percent that that money is to your entire IRAs. So if you do, let's say you do $5,000 and you want to convert that over, but you've got a traditional IRA with $100,000 in it, you're only going to get 5/100ths of it tax-free and the rest of it's taxable, and you might as well just can the whole idea.
So would that also deal with your 401k?
No, that is excluded, specifically
yep. excluded. Even though it's a Roth 401k?
It does not matter.
Nope.
It is an ERISA plan. This only applies to the non-ERISA plans, which are the IRAs.
So one common way that people get around that rule is to take their money and move it from an IRA into, say they have a 401k at their employer, they right. can roll it into that. Or if you're self-employed, you do an individual K plan and set that up, move the money into that, and then you can do the backdoor Roth.
Now, there's a secondary thing you should know. The IRS is starting to look at these things. They do not want you to make that conversion a day after you make the deposit. They want you to think about it for maybe a couple of months and then do it.
I don't know that anyone's ever been busted on that.
No, but they're starting to watch.
But yeah, it is a good idea to wait a few days or a week or even a month. But
that's not a problem. The only problem is some people think they can do it and get away with the whole tax-free exchange into the Roth or conversion, and it's not true. So if all you have is a 401k or pension or something like that, you bet you can do it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure. Anytime. Would you like to take a shot at the trivia? What's been the increase in the rise of in the price of silver this year so far?
I'd say 2%.
Quite a bit low, actually. How about that? About time, I might say. But it's too low. We appreciate it. Okay. You got everything you need to know?
I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Camille.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I called once before quite a while ago.
I remember.
And I tuned in a little late today, so you may have said something about this, but I was just wondering about inflation. I heard you say the word.
Yep.
Who decides what the inflation is and what is in it? Because you go to the grocery store and they're telling you there's no inflation, and there obviously is when you're paying over a dollar for an orange.
Try apples.
I mean, who does that? I mean, how is it calculated, and why is it always wrong?
Well, the strangest thing to me, and it's truly one of the strangest parts of the whole federal government, is that this job was left to the Department of Labor. And that just kills me. Why? Why would the Labor Department be the one? Adam's looking like, well, I know.
I mean, it's the BLS, right? Bureau yeah. of Labor and Statistics. So I think that the way they view it, it falls under the statistics category.
But the real reason for that is because all the labor contracts are tied with their COLAs to the supposed cost of living or inflation yeah. rate.
It does make for a great conspiracy theory talk.
So they're the people who are responsible for assembling the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. And that is what all the increases for Social Security, labor contracts, all that, they're all based on that. So can you manipulate a statistic? Oh, heck yes.
And do they?
Well, you know, oh, heck yes. Do they actually look at food costs and energy costs? Or because some people have told me that they don't think those are even in there.
But they are in the core rate. Now, what you hear in any given month in the media will either be the core rate or it'll be the overall rate, depending which one goes up less, since they don't like inflation, or up more sometimes. It depends on their attitude. The core rate just excludes what they call the volatile sectors of food and energy. The overall is what drives, for instance, tips. The calculation that's used to upgrade your tips.
Right. I think we have overall. Some of those.
Yes, you do. As far as I can remember, you do. That's based on the overall. So when people say they don't measure food and energy, that's only partly true. But what they do mostly, and I did a little explanation of this a couple of weeks ago, the biggest fault to me in the assemblage of that index is housing. They compute the changes in the price of shelter by asking a bunch of random Americans what they think they could rent their house for.
Oh, jeez.
I am not making this up.
Which is crazy because there's so much data available on housing. I mean, Angela and Howard sit here and talk about it every week, right, and they always bring up the statistics.
Yeah, pick up the newspaper. It tells you how many housing starts.
Sure. And the government, in its infinite wisdom, says, well, there's no real index that does that. But that's just blatantly untrue. There's something called the Case-Shiller Index, which takes the price of set property. So it compares the same property to the same property over time. It's readily available, and it's free. Now, that's a third of the consumer price index that goes into the shelter cost, and it's all done with a bunch of people who have absolutely no knowledge of what rents really are on a random survey. So they overweight that, and they underweight what you do at the grocery store. And now that you see energy, like the pump price, I just passed two pumps on the way in here today. One was $1.99, one was $1.98.
Oh, yeah, they're going right back up again.
Going crazy. So they were including a whole bunch of that while it fell from $4 to $1.60, but now it's going up again. They're going to underweight it. And that's the kind of manipulation that goes on out there, because think what it would cost them if every labor contract, every Social Security recipient, everybody got a real increase. So I've also talked many times about a fellow named Ed Butensky, who invented what he calls the Chapwood Index. His company is called Chapwood Investments. He measures in 50 different cities on a quarterly basis price changes of things that you actually buy, like home insurance and food, things like that.
Right.
For Jacksonville last year, it was in the upper sevens, almost 8%.
7.9%.
Yeah, and in some places like San Francisco, it's over 13% a year. And this goes back 5-year averages are in the 11, 12, 13 range in the big cities. How can somebody survive when three times since 2010, Social Security has had zero increase? How do people survive in an inflationary environment like that? Well, we're going to talk about.
You have to save money, I guess, and plan for your own retirement.
Yeah, and you better shop BOGOs and all kinds of stuff at the grocery store, too, or it's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, I do.
I think consumers have to be smarter than the government, which, A, should be simple, but
I'd like to think we are.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, the government is who? I mean, who do you complain to? Who cares?
No one that I can tell.
Right. It's
a terrible, terrible system to do something that's very, very important. I don't have an answer about that. But at least from an investment standpoint, I'm going to discuss before the end of the day some things that actually like inflation. So, you know, through the process of rotating sectors in your retirement accounts and such, hopefully we can pick up on some of the tailwinds that are blowing certain of the sectors a little bit faster than the others, like the silver, which is our trivia question today. Did you want to take a shot at...
I'll say 7%.
You're still light.
No.
Yeah, how about that? There are times
to own it. Can I call back again today? Can I get another chance?
No.
No.
I'd lie to you if you got it right. You can get
nice
it right, but no prize. How's that? Anyway, I appreciate the call, and keep listening because I am going to be talking a lot about that today.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
Camille.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that inflation rate thing is beatable in some sectors sometimes. And one of them right now, silver and gold are on a tear.
Well, and
doesn't mean you want to load up.
And tips were up 4.5% last quarter.
Exactly.
So that's an anticipation of inflation coming, I believe.
We're going to talk about those and some other things when we come back. We know, what did Camille say, seven?
It's
too light. Seven is too light. Okay, so we're going to be talking about inflation and gold and silver. Adam's got some very interesting stuff to do right after the break, and more calls are coming in. It's just plain fun out there today. Don't go anywhere. Keep listening. By the way, the trivia is sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888, and you will win a Publix gift certificate. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Q, Hewitt, Laura Ingram, Dennis Prager, The Savage Nation, Mark Levin, WBOB, 94.1 and AM 600. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama's approval rating is on the rise. According to an Associated Press GFK poll, it finds half of those questioned approve of the job the president's doing. That is his highest approval rating since 2013. The climb coincides with a slight apparent increase in people's optimism about the economy. Secretary of State John Kerry has met today with the Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, and Ghani's rival politically, the chief executive, Abdullah Abdullah. During his unannounced stop in Afghanistan, Kerry also took part in talks on security, governance, and economic development. The U.S. is warning Americans about what it calls credible threats to tourist areas in Turkey, especially around public squares and docks in Istanbul and the Mediterranean city of Antalya. The emergency message was posted on the U.S. consulate website today. This is SRN News.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, landlines are a thing of the past with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with our iPhone and Android apps. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, April 13th at 6 p.m. Enjoy free weekly group runs at the Fernandina Beach High School track. Wednesday, April 13th at 7 p.m. It's square dance lessons at the Arlington Presbyterian Church. And Friday, April 15th starting at 10 a.m. and running through April 17th, it's the 20th annual Southeast U.S. Boat Show at Metropolitan Park and Marina.
For more information or to have your event included, visit jackscommunityevents.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. You may have heard about diamonds certified by EGL, GIA, AGS, or IGL and wondered what that meant. It's confusing because those letters represent various diamond grading laboratories. However, it's important to point out that labs don't certify anything. They issue diamond grading reports. The entity doing the certifying is the seller. This created a problem for an Israeli retailer in Tennessee that sold diamonds with EGL International reports using GIA grading terminology. That created confusion because the diamonds with GIA reports had comparable grades on paper to those with the EGL International reports, but vastly different prices. When the EGL International graded stones were sent to the credible, accurate labs for grading, the grades were off by 5 grades or more. These quality differences more than accounted for the price differences and landed lawsuits against the retailer. At Underwoods, we only use accurate diamond grading reports. From GIA, AGSL, and Forevermark.
News Talk AM 600 and FM 100.3. Free on your iPhone, iPad, Android, or BlackBerry. Get the WBOB app at the App Store, Android Google Play Store, or BlackBerry App World. Take the talk with you wherever you go. Never miss your favorite talk shows. Laura Ingraham, Michael Savage, Mark Levin, and more.
Very sharp.
Only on the AM 600 and FM 100.3 app from News Talk WBOB.
Stuck in traffic? WBOB 94.1 has the answer.
And the eastbound lanes at Beach Boulevard are still blocked due to a crash over there at Hodges. And a St. Johns County crash, State Road 207 and State Road 312 in St. Augustine. It'll be sunny today through Monday. Looking for highs about 75. Clear skies tonight. Lows near 53. It's currently 58 degrees at WBOB 94.1. The answer.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And in keeping with our policy of putting the callers first, good morning, Chris.
How are you? You're doing a great job as usual. I was going to ask you a question. Actually, it's a two-part question. I think I know the answers at first. But regardless of which one of these candidates gets elected, is it really going to make much of a difference financially to make the stock market go up and things really go off in a positive direction? But the other part would be, with all this free money floating around, low interest rates and everything, I don't really think it will make that much difference who is elected. But I heard one candidate say we might be headed for a recession. So I'd like your comments on all that.
At any given time, we're headed for a recession because there's always a recession in the future somewhere. Is it going to happen today or tomorrow? I doubt it. In fact, if you stay listening, I'm going to show you how people are selling this thing a little bit later in the show, and it's kind of amazing. I think any Republican will be better for the stock market than any Democrat, but I am very biased.
I don't think it's going to matter much at all.
Unless
Bernie Sanders were to get in, which I really think would be sort of a disaster, but Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, not much difference in my opinion. Everyone thinks that there will be. I disagree.
Wall Street loves Democrats. It is run by rich Democrats. It always has been. It always will be. We got to get over it. That's the bottom line.
Look at what the market's done under the last two Democratic presidents. It's done fairly well.
I think the bull market's going to go on for some time regardless of who's elected, but there's free money again.
Yep, and the free money's going to get a little bit more expensive, but it's not going to get much more expensive. So things are going to carry on in the market as far as we can tell. I don't see all the gloom and doom out there.
Yeah, the interest, people, the retirees are going to keep right on taking it on the chin.
That's pretty much true. And there's not a heck of a lot the little guy can do about it. We just we play the game in the market with everybody else and react to what happens rather than trying to predict what happens.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the way it is.
We're going to eat more about inflation. I'll take a guess at your trivia question.
Absolutely.
What was exactly the question?
What has been the increase in the price of silver this year?
Not a whole lot.
7% is too low, by the way.
Yeah, silver, okay. I watched some of the commodities, so I'll say from what point? The last year?
This year, 2016.
So, 10%.
You're still low. Nice guess, okay. But you're still low. Thank you.
I enjoy your program.
Thanks so much, Chris. We appreciate
it. Thanks for the call, Chris.
Bye-bye.
All right.
We lost one, but that's okay. Leroy, if you call back, we'll be happy to take it. Meanwhile, Adam, you wanted to talk about some things today that I thought sounded very interesting.
I do, but I think Leroy's calling in right now.
Okay.
So we might have
another
call.
Well, then let's say a word about politics then. I honestly don't believe that the outcome of this election will have as big an impact as you might think. You got to really, if you're going to be a good investor, you got to stand back and not let your politics influence too much. Ask my wife what I did in 1993, and she'll tell you why. I learned fast. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just was going to call in today. I'm a new client with Van Wee Financial.
You sound familiar.
How's everything going this morning?
Just wonderful. How about you?
Not too bad. Hey, I'm just calling in. Just want to call and say thanks to you guys for doing a good job with my investment portfolio. I was kind of going over some of my dividend income stuff, adding it up, and thanks to the increase in dividends and stuff with my account there, I just was going to call in and say thank you.
Well,
you guys
appreciate
have got me,
that.
Well, you're welcome. You guys have got me much more balanced and diversified, and
which was badly needed.
But yeah, for those of you who picked up on that, Jeff came to us a little heavy in certain areas.
Yeah, we won't go into details.
No. But you know what's cool, Jeff? One of the things that happened, you know, my old saying that the market always overshoots everything. Last December, when the Fed made that gigantic quarter point rate increase, dividend paying entities got hammered over the next few weeks.
And it was brutal. We vastly Our dividend portfolios underperformed the market by a wide margin in the fourth quarter of last year.
All that in response to a quarter point increase? Well, guess what happened in the last couple of weeks? They're back.
Yeah.
You look at something like the S-Dog and some of the other higher dividend entities out there, REITs in particular.
I think the S-Dog ETF was up over 10% last quarter. I'm pretty sure.
Isn't that astounding? And it wasn't because things are that much better. It was because it got beaten up so badly. So dividends went out of favor for what I consider the worst possible reason. We kept in there and even bought more, as you did, and got diversified in the dividend pairs. And you're getting paid back now on a daily basis. And I love it.
Yeah, I like the dividends. I mean, their bays are up and they're down, but as long as the dividends keep coming in, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Nothing as certain as cash in your pocket every quarter, is there?
That's right. I was just kind of curious. I know since you guys, we've got that dividend income up, I didn't know if we were rubbing up against a line where we might be stumbling into a taxable situation. I guess that's something we might have to
take we'll
a
do
look
that.
At here.
Yep. Tax planning is everything when you get into this stuff. But you can make one extra dollar one day, and all of a sudden your tax bracket for all your other dividends and such just goes wampus. That's a good lesson for people out there. If you don't do 24/7, 365 tax planning, you ought to. You can sure save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But
it's a good lesson. Hey, you want to take a shot at the trivia, by the way?
Oh, yeah, the silver. That's more of an industrial. How about 14%?
That's a little high. We have now a bracket, folks.
There you go.
14's too high, 10's too low. Yeah,
okay.
I saw your name on a schedule the other day. I have a feeling I have a little premonition I'm going to see you pretty soon.
Yep.
Yeah, one here today this week, I think Tuesday.
Great. I can't wait. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And tell your mom hi.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. A very nice man and a very good client and a very happy client.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are three wonderful things. All right. Now, I was saying that you were saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. I did a little piece called, Are You Comparing Your Portfolio to the S&P 500?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, stop it already.
I couldn't agree more. Explain why.
I hate it. So the S&P 500 is comprised of American companies that have common stock listed on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. It's a weighted index, meaning that the larger the market cap of a company, the more weight it carries for the index. Many people consider it the best representation of the U.S. stock market, although I would argue that it has a lot of bias towards large cap stocks. The market cap of companies in the index must be greater than $5.3 billion, so many small cap stocks are immediately ruled out of being considered for the index. So my question is, why do we keep comparing every available investment portfolio to the S&P 500? On one hand, I can sort of see the rationale. 100 years ago, there weren't many investment options available to the average investor. Because the S&P 500 was and is considered the best representation of the market that we have, clearly this should have been the comparison that you made back then, because it was your only alternative. However, we all got used to using it, and we kept comparing our portfolios to it in a world where suddenly we have thousands of investment options. And what's the first rule of investing? Diversify. So if you're comparing yourself into a single asset class and you hold 10 asset classes, what's the point? It's not a true opportunity cost. You're never going to put all your money into the S&P 500. So why are you comparing what you've done to what happened if you did that? It makes no sense. So stop comparing to that. Compare it to something that is much more like what you're holding.
Like a good balanced mutual fund
exactly,
or something like that.
Or even if you want to do a 60-40, 60% S&P and 40% bonds, if that mirrors your portfolio, then compare it to that. It just doesn't make sense. Stop comparing to the S&P 500.
There was a period of time that ended about, 02, 04, somewhere in there, where for 10 years, the change in the S&P 500 was zero over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did a quick study, 25% tips, 25% real estate, 25% S&P, and 25% something or other. I can't remember now, so long ago. But it was up average 6% a year for that time. That's all you got to do is diversify. All right, we're up on a hard break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-5783. 800-298-5783. 800-298-5783. That's 800-298-5783.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
Call now. 800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Has your health insurance changed or is it about to change? Are you or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. Not available in all states.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here for the final segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Right now is cleanup season. They do a bang-up job and a great business doing that kind of thing. And then you'll have something to maintain, and you can talk about that too. Trivia question still out there. We have a bracket. What's been the increase in the price of silver this year? We know that 10% is too low, 14% is too high. Now, if anybody's figuring that out, it's closing in.
Yeah, you've got about 10 minutes to win a $25 gift card, so
yep.
Call us.
Here is the headline from a little story I pulled this morning. Fed hikes rates. Series of Bloody Wednesdays underway. June 15th, 2016, up next. Are you ready? America's Day of Reckoning. This December, behind closed doors in Washington, D.C., an event took place that will change everything in your life. It virtually guarantees the longest series of Bloody Wednesday crisis on record, with the next looming on June 15th, 2016. You know what he's talking about, folks? The Fed raised interest rates a quarter of a point. Oh, sorry. We've real yawner that one. Now, what you must do immediately to protect and preserve your wealth, what you can do now to grow up six times richer, and all this is in the newsletter that you can buy for a mere $9 for the next 90 days, and then it's probably $90 a year. People, don't do it. Don't listen to this stuff. don't read it. It's just ridiculous that a thing like this, he won't even tell you what happened, but something happened that's got him convinced. This one is from an outfit called Money and Markets. There are more. I don't mind calling them out by name either. But meanwhile, we have a caller. George, good morning.
Yes. Good morning. I need to pull some money out of the market. I was wondering how that might best be done.
You are taking money out of the market?
Yes, sir.
On what premise? Do you need the money, or are you just getting scared?
I'm 84.
Okay. That's not a bad premise, actually. Is this money that's highly appreciated, so you're going to be talking about a big taxable event?
No, it's Roth.
Oh, okay. Then there's not a particular best way to do it. If you're going to need the money in the next 5 years, you probably shouldn't have it in at all. If you want to start going more and more to cash just to preserve it, I would do it in bits and pieces, maybe 25%, a quarter, or 10% a month or something. You can dollar cost in. You can also dollar cost out of the market. Just in case we hit a nice little good period in the market, you'll have a little bit more left. If you start looking like it's going to fall, then you just dump everything. Normally, I don't advise getting out of the market, but at 84 and needing the cash, fine. It sounds like a perfectly viable plan to me, but I would do it slowly, personally. Or maybe 30% now and 10% a month, something like that, just to keep some exposure.
Okay. We're in St. Augustine getting you loud and clear on 94.1.
I appreciate that because
that's good news.
The station said when they were informing us of the change that 94.1 targets St. Augustine by its location and power. And we were really happy because our clientele is very large and wonderful in St. Augustine. So I'm really happy to hear that. Love the information. Would you like to take a shot at our trivia?
Oh, yes, a 12%.
We got it.
That is the correct answer. I said I'd take the whole number on either side. It's actually 11.3, so 12 is a winner. I will put you on hold, and Alan will get your address, and we'll send you a gift certificate from First Coast Alarm for your local public store.
Okay.
All right. If you'll hang on, I appreciate the call. Very nice. Glad we had a winner. The reason I brought this up, aside from having the inflation topic on my mind this week and 2 weeks ago and next week and probably the week after that, is because gold had been run up about 16% and silver was lagging very badly. And silver has started to accelerate up a little bit. And they do move independently of each other, but they tend to go in the same direction. So when you're thinking gold or silver, a little diversification there can't hurt anything either.
But just always remember, commodities do not buy and hold.
No.
Watch them and sell them when they need to be sold.
They're trading vehicles. That's why I don't like, in particular, holding that gold and silver in your hand, because that gives you an emotional attachment to it, and it's very hard to do.
I was looking at a chart yesterday. It had all the investment classes, and commodities were by far the worst investment in terms of historical return being very negative and historical risk being higher than almost every other asset class.
On a 1 to 10 risk scale, they're a 15. So know when you buy it that you want to identify when you're going to get in, you want to identify when you get out, and if you make a mistake, get out. Now, I'm going to tell you some predictions that people have made over the past few years and how it worked out. Some of these gloom and doomers like the ones I was reading a minute ago. There's a guy named Harry Dent. Harry is called the perpetual bear. He, I think, takes great pride in his bearishness. So in 2011, he predicted at the Dow was at that time 11,061. He predicted it would go to 3,000. Since then, it has gone to 18,000, 17,6 now. It's up, and these numbers were as of July 13th. It went up from 11,000 by 6,900 points. A fellow named David White in January 2012, Dow 7,000. It was at 12,4. It's gained 5,496 since then. Let's see. Some other good ones. Market crash in Q3 2013. Harry Dent again at 13.3. It gained 4,600. David Stockman, remember him? That icon of economics from the Reagan administration. Oh, man, this guy turned into a real piece of work. And you see him on TV a lot nowadays. 3/28/13, sundown in America, he called it. The Dow was at 14,579. Since then, it's gained 3,400 points. Mark Hulbert, October 13, another crash is inevitable. It gained 2,500. Harry Dent again, the demographic cliff in 2014, gained 1,447 since then. Dow 5,000, Charles Nenner on March 19th, 2014, gained 1,700. Mark Cook, 20% drop, went up 1,485. Mark Cook, 4,000-point drop in 2015. It actually went down that time. He got it sort of right. It went down 22 points, folks. He predicted...
That was close.
Yeah. He predicted 4,000. It went down 22. I can't tell you how many times I get asked about this guy, that guy says we're going to have this and that and so on and so forth. If it's going to crash, it's going to crash. It's not 2008. I might even resurrect that old piece I was doing a year ago about it's not 2008 one of these days. The conditions are not there for a predictable market crash. You know, if somebody pulls the nuclear trigger somewhere overseas or domestically, yeah, then we're probably going to have some pain and suffering in the markets. Short of that, where would you put your money today? There are not that many places that are safer to me than the U.S., whether it's real estate, whether it's the stock market, whatever. And to listen to these people, I promise you, if you hear this stuff or read this stuff, go to the last paragraph and find out what they're charging for their annual newsletter, because that's what they're doing. They're selling you a newsletter. They are not telling you the truth. They are selling you a newsletter. It's just that simple. All right, back to inflation. What loves inflation? Commodities. Commodities in general love inflation. Inflation goes up, commodities go up, profits go up, you make money. When the inflationary cycle is over, which it inevitably will be eventually, then the commodities are going to go down. And when they go down, they're going to go down really fast. That's why you have to be willing to trade these things. Now, you can buy commodities on the futures market if you want to, but I don't really want a train load of corn dumped on my front yard, and I can't really eat that many pork bellies. So I usually use an exchange-traded fund like DBC, and there are others that are general commodities. But specifically, precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, all the others, you can buy those. Real estate loves inflation. And I'm going to talk a lot next week about real estate and owning real estate that isn't your home. There's a name for people who own real estate that isn't their home. A real, real ugly name. They're called landlords.
It's awful.
And I don't want to be one. However, a lot of people do. So we're going to talk about real estate, REITs versus actual ownership, what's good, what's bad, all of that, returns on them. There are other things that like inflation, too. And I'm going to hammer this topic for a while because, like it or not, it's coming. Darn it, the hour's up. We got to go. We'll see you next week. Remember, you're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.